Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's a weird player, man. There's another guy who it's hard to make a comparison
I think
with.
He could be a – and well, Joe's going to say this, so I don't want to steal Joe's
okay.
point. Joe in San Jose joins us next on 95.7 The Game. Joe, with some strong words on the upside for Giannis.
As great as he could be, but if he becomes content like Shaq did with his game, then, you know, and sit back on the recliner and just be him with, you know, 28 points a game, so be it. But if he goes hard and he goes by Michael, Curry, Durant, their work ethic, Kobe is another one, he could be legendary. And speaking of guys to play with, I played with Steve Nash before he was Steve Nash. I didn't even know he was Steve Nash.
Was this in Vancouver or at Santa Clara?
Santa Clara. We were playing around the corner in the 9-foot hoops. You know about that, Steiny. Getting up there and getting loose with those 9-foot hoops.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
We played with him, and then my buddy goes, "That kid plays at Santa Clara U." I go, "Really?" So I went and saw him. Next thing you know, he's getting drafted. I'm like, "Damn. All right. All good, brother."
Thanks for the call. I remember watching Steve Nash at Santa Clara. I was like, man, he's good. He's fun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not going to be any good in the pros.
Right.
All right. You know, good luck.
Yeah, him and Randy Wynn, right?
That's right. Good call. And Marlon Garnett, who I think is on an assistant with, and Lloyd Pierce.
Yeah.
Lloyd Pierce was played with Steve Nash also. Giannis is shooting 24% from three-point range. Takes 2.6 per game.
That's got to get better.
58% from the field.
It's got to get better.
Yeah.
The three-point range, not the overall.
925 says Curry. You got Curry. Even if you say Steph and Durant are equal on offense, KD's defense is a notch higher. Steph creates confusion for the entire opposing team when the ball is in his hand, either driving to the rack, shooting a three, or dishing off.
Okay. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
I mean, by the way, Curry's in a shooting slump.
It's 50-50 for me. Like, I just, like, Curry, Durant, Curry, yeah. I mean, they're both in their prime.
I mean,
they're both playing well.
I mean, if it...
They've both played at finals MVP level. I know Durant's won the finals MVP, but both players have played at finals MVP level, especially last year.
I think that you're right. It's 50-50, Durant, Curry, Durant. I guess if it really came down to I guess I'd have to say Durant strictly for that last possession. If you get him the ball on the wing, he's going to get a good shot. And you can almost count on that. If you give the ball to Curry, you're probably going to get a good shot. But I think Durant's the safer option there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give the ball
to
Durant. He's gonna give you a chance to get a bucket. So, but who would I take to start a team tomorrow? Well, actually, I wouldn't take Curry because he's 31 now. That's the only reason I wouldn't take him.
Yeah. Happy birthday to Steph.
Yeah. If you're starting a team today,
Pi Day,
that means I can draft Steph Curry onto my team, but he's only going to play 6 years for me. You know, I take Giannis, he's going to play 12. So that's a big part of it. I'm trying to think who else I'd even consider at this point. Maybe Embiid. I could see Embiid maybe taking Embiid over Giannis. I'm trying to think who else off the top of my head you might take. That's pretty much it. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
By the way, it looks like the Hawks are going to lose, or they have lost.
Well, that would be important if they had not already surpassed their over-under for
yeah.
the year. Boston needs that game more because Boston needs to get ahead of Indiana. So Indiana cannot
Part of me wants Indiana.
Up.
Part of me wants Indiana to mess things up.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
Just because.
No, and that's, like, I don't, yeah, I...
Because I don't...
You know what else I want to see? I want to see Milwaukee play, and this is going to happen. I want to see, well, it should happen. I want to see Milwaukee have to play Boston or Philly, and I want to see Toronto have to play the other one, Boston or Philly.
Well, no doubt. I mean, I do too.
I don't want to see Boston and Philly play in the first round, which that can't happen unless they're 4-5.
Right.
Which I definitely don't want to see.
Well, I just don't think...
The East.
Yeah, I know. Now, what if Indiana had Oladipo?
Then I'd say, okay, fair game, play it out. Or you get what you earn.
I'm a little behind on this Hawks game.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's a final. 129-120.
Okay.
Boston wins. So the Celtics playing a little bit better.
They are. You know, and I was telling you this, we talk about who's coming out of the East. I've thought Boston the whole year, even with their struggles, starting to think it's possible they won't get there just because maybe this is who they are.
The crazy thing is, like, let's say Boston ends up fifth or fourth.
Okay.
Whatever. They play Indiana. They'd be picked to win that series.
Sure.
They'd be the favorite, I think, in that series, even if they don't have home court.
You win
that series, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're playing Milwaukee. It'd be Boston, Milwaukee. Milwaukee with the best record likely in the NBA at that point, right? A lot of people would pick Boston to win that series or think it's even. You know, even series. Maybe it goes seven. Maybe it goes six. Boston win. You know? And so it's almost – and then if you win that series – then you're Boston playing well in the conference finals, and maybe you're playing Philadelphia or Toronto. And if you wind up somehow playing Philadelphia, although I think Toronto would beat Philly, but if you wind up playing Philadelphia, you own them.
What you're saying,
And if you wind up, and Toronto has to get over their own demons. See, playing Toronto might almost be the best thing for Philly because Toronto's got demons. Even though Kawhi's there now and Gasol, it's different.
I get what you're saying, but I also think you got to apply the same theory to Boston as you would for the Warriors. You know, if the Warriors get San Antonio, Portland, Denver, Warriors are sitting pretty. If they get Utah, OKC, Houston, that's tougher.
That is tough.
So if Boston all of a sudden is looking at a tough series against either Philly or Indiana, and then Milwaukee, and then... Toronto.
Well, that's what you should root for if you're the Warriors.
Right, exactly. You want somebody to get beaten up.
And you should root for those four teams to all play each other for two rounds.
No doubt. And
like, if you're a Warriors fan, you should be rooting for Indiana to fall to 5 or at least 4-5.
Right. And if you can't stand the Warriors, you're hoping they get Utah, Oklahoma City, Houston because they get San Antonio, Portland, Denver. Guess who's walking into the finals feeling frisky? Not beaten up.
Yeah. We're going to ask our other question?
Yes.
By the way, this is Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz with you until 1 o'clock.
Ask this question and then open the lines up.
Then we're going to take a break from 1 to 4, and then we're going to come back at 4 with Warriors Live. And we got you before and after the game tonight, baby. This is the day where we're with you at 9 a.m., and we're going to be with you at 9 p.m., because that's just how we roll.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game. All right, so here was a question. Was our guy Charlie?
Yes.
Our guy Charlie threw it out, and we've debated this before. So the Warriors win the championship in 15.
Yep.
They go 73-9. They lose to the Cavs in Game 7 in 16, but Kevin Durant comes
right
to the Warriors. Warriors win two more championships. They're the favorite to win another one.
Okay.
Warriors are still the favorite, by the way.
No doubt.
And then let's say Kevin Durant leaves.
All right,
I'm gonna put that into the equation.
Okay,
would you rather have the way it played out?
Right,
win one, lose one, get Durant, win two, maybe three more, and then Durant bounces, or would you rather win the second one with that core?
Yep,
in the 73-9 year, never get Durant, not win again.
Well, how about this? Instead of maybe not win again, you don't know what's going to happen. Because it would have been that Warrior team.
No, I think you got to throw not win again.
Okay.
Because I think you have to all make right. it absolute just because you're already giving them three, okay. maybe four championships all on right. the other end.
This is a no-brainer.
It's, I mean, three's greater than two, right? And the potential for four.
Yes. You don't give up a title. In other words, you don't go back and take the title the 73-win season. And here's why. There's a very good reason. The 73-win season was the most unbelievable season that any of us have ever seen. The whole season was a party. The party ended on June 20th, June 22nd. And the Warriors,
it was the 19th,
The Warriors were devastated. Their fans were devastated. For 2 weeks, that's it. And 2 weeks later, the Warriors signed Durant. And I'm sorry, but signing Durant took so much of the sting away from not winning that year.
Yeah, it's almost as if they won.
Yes. Yes. I mean, in a crazy kind of way, when they lost that year.
And it literally was 2 weeks.
There was a silver lining. There was a silver lining to the Warriors losing that series. They got Kevin Durant. So I'm taking where they are now 99 times out of 100. Though they can't say, like they could have, we had the best team in. They could have said we had the best team in NBA history.
888-957-9570.
Can't say that now.
Seems like a logical no-brainer to me. Well, you've laid out your reasons for it.
But what you're really saying, JD, is would you rather have won three titles? Let's keep this one. Three titles rather than I'd rather win two. But that second year, it's the greatest team of all time.
Exactly.
Or at least you can win that argument. Like, you can win that argument.
Yeah, you win the title, you win the most games ever.
I think I'm still taking three.
And to your point, it was literally 2 weeks. The Warriors lost that on Father's Day that Sunday night, and it was the 4th of July was 2 weeks the next day, Monday. So you get up the Monday after the game, 7, and you're thinking, oh, God.
Oh, my God.
And it was they didn't win. How did they not win? And literally 2 weeks from that Monday morning is when Kevin Durant decided to come to the Warriors.
Yeah, I'm taking that. This is one of those things where real life is better than fantasy.
Yeah.
To my way of thinking.
No question. So Tim Roy's going to join us coming up at 12:30 as we get you closer to the Warriors and Thunder. By the way, no Kevin Durant tonight. We should make sure we keep passing that along. Durant out with the ankle, although Steve Kerr did tell reporters in Oklahoma City that it's likely Durant will play on Monday against San Antonio. So if you were hoping to see Durant against Russ, you're not going to see it.
That's too bad.
Warriors and the Thunder coming up 5:30 again right here at 95.7 The Game. We'll have Warriors live at 4. Your phone calls when we continue at 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, to be joined by Tim Roy here at 12:30 as he'll be coming to us from Oklahoma City, Warriors and the Thunder. 888-957-9570. We threw it out there before the break. If you're a Warriors fan, would you rather have the two championships, as in the 73-9 championship that you didn't get to go with the 2014-15 championship, and no Kevin Durant, and being able to call that team the greatest team of all time? Or would you rather have it play out as it did, where you win the one, then you lose, but you get Durant because you lost, and then you wind up winning a couple of more championships and maybe having a shot at a third, even though Kevin Durant winds up leaving at the end of this season? So a lot to chew on there, and the logical point. I think you more eloquently laid it out than I did, but I kept it simple and logical and said three or four is greater than two. So no matter how you get them, that's what's most important. But there's a sentimental value, I think, from a lot of Warriors fans to that core group, meaning Curry, Klay,
yep,
Draymond, and even Bogut, Livingston, Iguodala, you know, Barbosa, you know, those guys, Azili, Barnes, he turned into the...
There's that old phrase, you can't go home again. It does feel like...
Scapegoat.
There are a lot of Warrior fans that kind of want to go home again. Not that they want Durant to leave, but it's, if Kevin Durant leaves, hey, we still got our boys. We still got Curry, Clay, and Draymond. They want a title. It might not be bad to get the original band back together, or most of it, you know what I mean, with another couple additions in place of Durant.
Well, the interesting point, and Texter points this out from the 530, Warriors have won 22 of their last 23 games when Durant sits.
That's
something? Nothing? Everything? Question mark?
I would say that was surprising to me.
You did the research on that. That's actually accurate, right?
They went 14-0 or something when he missed 14 games. There were three stretches. They went like 14-0, then they won six or something. No, it is. It's right. But the point is, are they a 22-1 team without Kevin Durant? No.
Well, they were a 24-0 team without him in 15-16.
Right. And I always got to tell Guru, years pile up on you. You know, Steph Curry's not the player he was.
At 26?
Mm-hmm.
You think?
Steph Curry is on the downside of his career. I hope people understand that. I mean, he's 10... What is he, 11 years? Is his 10th year or 11th year? I mean, just do the math. He's not going to play 22 years.
He came in 2009.
Okay. 10th year, let's say. Yeah, it is his 10th year. I mean, he's still pretty good. And as I said, I might take him still number one in my NBA draft.
Let's get to David in San Francisco. David, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hey, David.
Oh, hi. Yeah, a couple things. Steph Curry definitely is not on the downside of his career. No possible way.
He's played 10 years. He's played 10 years.
I don't understand why Durant would want to leave this team. Is that ego? I just don't understand it.
Oh, I got
why anyone in his right mind would want to leave a team like this.
David, we're going to keep you on the line here at Steiny Answer.
Dave, how can he not be on the downside in his 10th year?
Because I watch him daily.
Okay, he's the same player he was when he was the unanimous MVP.
Probably not quite as good.
Okay.
Not on the downside.
Peaking? Remember that whole thing?
All right.
Peaking?
As for Kevin Durant, I think there's probably a lot of reasons why he may leave. One reason is you know, he's not having as much fun as everybody else. I think that's obvious. I don't think he's having a lot of fun. And I think there's a part of him that maybe wants another challenge.
To go to the Knicks?
That's a big challenge, isn't it?
No, that's insanity.
Well, the Warriors were the Knicks 10 years ago.
All right, thanks, David. We got to move on.
But
David was still there, but he didn't have an answer. We give you about 3 seconds, and we got to keep it moving.
You know, it's kind of like... The Warriors were like the 49ers, you know, back then. In order to get somebody, they either had to overpay or somebody really didn't want to come. So how did the Warriors get better? How did they go from a laughingstock to maybe one of the greatest teams ever? Started with the draft. That's where it started. Like, that's what you have to do first. The 49ers right now stink. All right? Now you go out, you draft some players. You start winning, now you become a more attractive franchise. Bottom line is, you draft Curry, Clay, Draymond, you have a core that's pretty damn good, and now people want to play with you. It's
watches him daily, though.
What's that?
He watches him daily.
Who?
The caller. Watches him daily. How do you know? I watch him daily, damn it.
I mean, you know what? I'm trying to think if there's a way he's not on his downside.
415 with a great one. So where are you guys in your careers?
I would say
Steiny's on the downside.
I am on the downside. There's I'm not, no doubt.
If I'm on the downside, it's not good. I'm not on the downside.
You know who I am right now? I'm Iguodala. I'm winding down and I'm thinking, can I squeeze one more contract out of somebody?
Yeah.
Even if it's not the Warriors. Maybe I go to SAC for 2 years and $30 million. I would say I'm not on the downside.
I'm definitely not in the mindset of being on the downside.
No, you're not
somebody,
on the downside.
Somebody may tell me I'm on the downside.
You're not on the downside. You're kind of like a. You're one of those players.
Oh boy,
like
here we go.
I was thinking of a Montrezl Harrell, but he's too young. You're not as young as he is. But you're one of these Spurs. You're like a Spurs player that they draft, just kind of. You know, they bring him up, and then the next thing you know, you're 4 or 5 years in, and you're like, that guy's good. Like a guy like DeJounte Murray.
Right.
Maybe a guy like Lonnie Walker's going to be, or somebody they drafted who better than a Davis Bertans.
The kid from
who am I thinking?
The point guard, Derek White.
Yes. Well, actually, Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is that kind of guy.
All right.
There you go.
All right. David in Albany, as the phone lines light up here. David, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, hi. I would take the second championship, you know, best record, you know, the two championships with the original team, you know, with Harrison Barnes and not having the trouble from Draymond, and you know, just I think that would have been legendary, having the, you know, best record and the championship with all the original guys.
All right, so David, you would give up the last two championships to have those two.
Well, the thing is, I didn't, you know, you don't know it at the time. And so, you know, at the time, you're just hoping they're going to win, get that championship and have the best record. And then that's something nobody would probably ever, nobody would break that record.
Well, the other thing I was thinking, JD, is, okay, if you're taking the two titles back-to-back in the 73-win team, you don't necessarily have to say that's your last championship, really. You just head into the next year with the same Warrior team that won it without Durant. So maybe that team could have won it again the following year. I don't think they could have, but it's not obvious that they couldn't. You know what I mean?
Right.
So maybe by saying
but
I'm taking
the... But for the purposes of this conversation, okay. That's
all right.
That's the way it's got to be.
Okay.
If we're giving you the three... Then you got to give, you know, I mean, and maybe four, then you got to give that it ends at two.
Gee, 707 saying you have a high upside, but my best days are in the past.
High upside, yeah. See, I'm a little old for
925 says he looks at Steiny as a Patrick Beverly. Come on.
David in
mostly,
San Jose.
He says mostly in Irritan.
David, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hey, David.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Oh, first of all, this is my favorite show, man, of all radio shows. It kind of reminds me of Inside Stuff when I was a kid. I just look forward to just pure basketball talk, man. But I just want to say first for Steph Curry, I think because he has so much talent around him, he doesn't have to do as much as he has to do in MVP season. So it's kind of hard to tell if he is on the downside or not.
I buy that.
Okay. And then the last thing I want to say is I know everyone's big on, you know, we had our three – to get the championship, but the thing is, they're on a different salary. They're if Durant leaves, I just think this Warrior team is, you know, it's obvious they're not going to be as competitive, but I just don't think you can rely on the three. And when he leaves, you know, this signing, you can't just go out there and sign another big name. You're so far over the cap. When he leaves, you're still screwed. So you really need him to stay.
I think that's going to be, I think it's going to be tough to do, but we'll see. And hey, I'm going to ask the text line. Come on.
Victor Alexander.
Come on.
Steiny, you're Vince Carter. That's a good one.
I'll take that. He's actually... Nah, but this may be his last year. That might be a little too premature for me.
Warriors use Vince Carter.
I mean, you got to compare me to a guard. You can't compare me to a big man, right?
I wouldn't have thought, let's say, last year before Carter went to Sacramento, and then this year he's with Atlanta. I would not have thought signing Vince Carter if you were the Warriors would have been a good idea.
Right.
And I know he ended up getting. I think Carter get the minimum this year, right? He had to take the he had to take the veteran. He got $8 million from Zach last year.
Okay,
but I would not have thought that it would have been a good idea for the Warriors to sign Vince Carter, let's say, to a 2-year deal last year, just to be a bench piece. It would have been a good idea.
Might not have been a bad idea.
It would have been a good idea. Not that you could have paid him they couldn't have paid him $8 million, but they could have, give him the vet minimum. Let's keep it moving. We're going to take a couple more before we get to Tim Roy. Charles is up next. Charles, you're on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to make two comments. Number one, I don't think that Steph's on the downside of his career. I think he's at his prime. And the other thing is as a Warrior fan, it hurts to hear shows like these or fans, talk about KD or talk about the Warriors and things of that nature. We've lost so many years in a row, and I've been a fan since Sleepy Floyd, that it should be a time where we're cherishing the fact that we have a great team, we have great players, and that it's a great time for us. I think there's so much bullcrap that goes around that we don't even get a chance to take in what's actually happening. And by the time that Durant leaves, Steph Curry leaves, and Klay Thompson leaves, I mean, we'll be back to losing again, just like Chicago Bulls. And we haven't even really soaked in the greatness of what it is that we've been able to be a part of.
Thanks, Charles. You want to take that one? To me, it's up to the individual how they choose to appreciate or not appreciate. I mean, I think we've spent a good portion of the show today appreciating the last 5 years, actually, with them playing Oklahoma City and the Durant connection and Curry hitting that shot. I mean, I think we've kind of run the gamut as far as, in some ways, acknowledging the greatness of the last 5 years.
The ridiculous greatness, quite frankly. And, I guess if you say, look, this is like what the Warriors are. Is it negative to say what they're doing now they're never going to be able to do again? To me, it's not. That, to me, is an indication of how much you should appreciate
and
it.
And I think you said it with Guru this week on your show during the week. This is a once-in-a-generation, or lifetime. Actually, use lifetime. Once-in-a-lifetime dynasty.
No doubt.
Once in a lifetime stretch.
Look at the history of the NBA.
I think you guys are talking about the 49ers. It's like, well, what the 49ers did in the 80s was once in a lifetime.
Right.
Winning 5 in 14 years or whatever it was. That what the Warriors are doing now, when it ends, it probably won't happen for another 40 or 50 years for the Warriors.
Right. The one thing I would say to the last caller, though, is, Joe Lacob is not Chris Cohan. So I don't think you can assume, when this is over, we're going to go back to our losing ways.
No, but you also aren't going to win 4 and 5 years from now.
Right.
Most likely.
Ideally, you just go back to being a good old team where maybe one year you win 50 and get to the Western Conference semis, and you got to stay relevant
right
now.
The Warriors would love to be? I'll give you an example. The Spurs won their last championship in 2014.
All right.
So they were the last team to win it before the Warriors did.
Right.
Started this run. So 5 years ago, the Spurs won. If the Warriors could have none of the players that they had on that team 5 years from now and be 40 and 29, that you'd love that. Think about it. 5 years out.
Right.
If the Warriors didn't have Curry, Klay, Draymond, Durant, Iguodala, probably one or two of those guys, it's feasible, could be on the team still. But if the Warriors don't have any of those players 5-6 years from now and are 40 and 29, that would be what you'd want.
I think that's going to be tough for young Warrior fans to, you know what I mean? That's going to be hard for the young Warrior fans who kind of came on board the last 6-8 years.
But that's culture and keeping it going. And Bob Myers.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's like when you're talking about all-time elite franchises,
right,
the ability to do that, because the Spurs are 40 and 29. They don't have Tim Duncan.
They don't have
Tony Parker. They don't have Ginobili.
Hypothetically.
They don't have Kawhi.
Hypothetically, and we've asked this question, hypothetically, Durant leaves. All right, so the Warriors essentially, Cousins leaves too. Klay's re-signed. They pick up a couple players with a mid-level. How many teams does that, how many games does that team win? Might win 50, 55?
Right, but not necessarily winning a title.
No, but they're not, you can't rule them out. You can't say they're not going to win it. I don't think so.
Let's get to, let's keep it moving on the phones, and we're gonna call Tim Roy up from OKC, and we'll get him on the line. But before we do that, let's get to Tish. Tish and Hercules. Hey, Tish.
Hi, JD. You just said what I always say, which is that we can be as good as San Antonio, as consistent once you go on the chase, then I'll feel like my hard-earned dollar at Chase is worth it. But what I wanted to say is we keep talking about whether we need KD or not. Think about this, guys. The players themselves, the core group we keep talking about, thought they needed KD. That's why they went out to Long Island to convince him to come.
Right.
So we question whether we need KD, and we say, well, do we really need the... The core group that we all love felt they needed KD. So that should put to rest the question of whether we need KD. Without KD, I still say we wouldn't have had our last two championships. So I hope he stays and goes over to Chase, because he's been an integral part of our ongoing success. And what I want is consistency over at Chase.
Thank you very much. That's a, you know what? I've never heard it described like that, but that's true. Did people say, oh, the Warriors didn't need Durant? Well, then why did you, Tish is right. Why those four guys, they told Durant they needed him, right? They sent, Draymond told him, we need you.
You just lost in the finals,
right,
too. So you're thinking, what's the easiest way to be good,
right,
to win it? Well, you take away from one of your biggest competitors and you add one of the best players in the game. Let's bring in Tim Roy from Oklahoma City here on 95.7 The Game. Tim, thanks a lot as always, and should be a good one tonight. And we'll see if the Warriors can do it again without Kevin Durant in the fold back at his old stomping grounds.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be, again, I think, you know, the first thing you look at is, to me, is matchups. And, you know, they started, you know, Andre Iguodala in Houston, and I'm thinking maybe they might do the same again tonight, just because of the fact that, you know, you have Paul George and Russell Westbrook there. And I think, you know, if in a perfect world, maybe you'd like to keep, you know, Steph Curry off either one of those. And so just to give him the rest and the type of stuff that, you know, he can do off the ball defensively as opposed to on the ball. But so I think it's going to change the matchups a little bit. I think it's going to be an interesting game. But again, I go back to what we saw in Houston. You know, they were attentive. They were into the game. They were paying attention to details and for the most part protecting the ball. You know, and I think if they do those kind of things, they're going to win.
You know, I don't know that there's an answer to this question, and I've asked Steve Kerr this a couple of times, but why has it been on the road that they play? I mean, everything you're saying, I'm thinking they've done that on the road all year, but at Oracle, it just hasn't been there. Why do you think that is?
I think on the road, it's kind of you know, the difference between coaching college and coaching the NBA. In college, you have, you know, all these distractions in terms of actual basketball. You know, you have classes, you have recruiting, you have all this other stuff. When an NBA team goes on the road, there's no, you know, the distractions of home aren't there. You know, there's not family and friends coming over, talking to you, asking about the game. And you know, you might get some ticket requests on the road, but it's not like having, you know, especially for those who are fathers, you know, the little kids aren't running around or waking up at 3 a.m. You have the less distractions, and I think you can focus a little bit more on the road. And I think also great teams tend to focus on the road because they know how difficult the road is. They know that even as great as they are, the road is, you know, as they say on Game of Thrones, the night is dark and full of terrors.
You know, Tim, that doesn't work. It didn't work for me as a beat writer. You know, when I was on the road, you know, I lost a lot of focus. And when I came at home,
go figure.
Hey, I want to ask you, you know, DeMarcus obviously with a hell of a game Wednesday. Now, Kevin Durant didn't play. Is it possible for the Warriors to basically have DeMarcus Cousins play that way when everybody's healthy? I guess, is there enough room for everybody to be healthy and DeMarcus to kind of do what he did, or will it look differently and maybe not as stat heavy?
Well, I think there is, and I think one of the ways he can do that when KD is healthy is with that second group. You know, it looked like they put him out there with the second group, and they didn't have Draymond out there, so they could kind of run the offense through him. And I think that puts him in his comfort zone because, you know, first and foremost, he likes to pass.
Yeah.
So he gets the ball at the box, and he's looking, waiting to see if there's going to be somebody making a cut to the offside. And so then he can go to work if he has to. And so I think with that group, I think that's where he can get a lot of his damage done when they're completely healthy. Because, you know, with, you know, Draymond out there, he tends to handle the ball a lot. And you want him to handle the ball. He makes great decisions. He's a great passer. He gets the Warriors into their offense. So I think when Cousins is out there with that second group, I think that's where I think he can get really comfortable.
Yeah, Tim, I you know, it's interesting. With Durant out, Draymond played the whole first quarter. So him and Curry played the first quarter together, which is what happened a lot. That was the way they did it before Kevin Durant joined the Warriors. And then Draymond sat out and they ran things through Cousins, as you mentioned too, at the beginning of the second quarter. What do you think happens when Durant comes back? Because I know Steve Kerr had mentioned maybe changing the rotation up a little bit after the Phoenix game. Now, Durant being out changes it, but would you see Steve Kerr maybe keeping Draymond out there the whole quarter? And do you put Durant in maybe with that second unit? I know he likes playing the whole first quarter too, along with Curry. How do you think that shakes out? And maybe there's a little bit of a rotation change there when even Durant returns.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, in because if it continues to work, you know, and we have obviously small sample size.
Sure.
But if that's where they're going to go with Draymond and Steph playing the entire quarter, well, maybe KD plays and takes a little bit of a rest, or maybe it's Steph who takes a little bit of a rest and then comes back a little bit earlier. That's interesting. It's going to be something to watch. But I think with the Warriors, I don't think you'll ever see, you know, Steve Kerr totally lock in on one rotation, just because he's very in tune with matchups of the night. And so, you know, maybe on say if Durant was healthy tonight, let's just say for the sake of argument, maybe tonight's a night where maybe Curry goes out early, gets a rest, because, you know, at various times he's got to be playing Westbrook, and that takes a lot of energy to play Westbrook. So maybe Curry leaves in the first quarter, but maybe against another team that maybe doesn't have a ball heavy point guard or a dynamic scoring point guard, maybe that's the quarter Curry plays the entire quarter and KD comes out for a few minutes. So I don't think we'll ever see a total locked in rotation. I think we'll see some, you know, basic principles, but I don't think we'll ever see it totally locked in.
Tim, on the heels of the Houston game, and looking back to the Denver game last week when the Warriors seemed to acknowledge it's time to get going, have you kind of seen a difference in their approach, or is that something that really, only they know inside that locker room?
I think it's a little different in terms of their being ready to play. You know, even with the losses to Boston, it just seems like every year they play Boston at home after a long road trip. I don't know what the deal is, but it just seems every year it's like that. But, you had the win against Philly, you had the win against Denver. I think we're slowly seeing this focus and this, you know, getting locked in, if you will, start to become a little more frequent. And I expect them to be locked in tonight. You know, I don't believe they'll come out and be, you know, I think if they lose tonight, I think Oklahoma City will beat them. I don't think they're going to lose the game.
How do you think Durant not being there just changes, not the X's and O's? I mean, obviously Durant's as talented as anybody in the league, but how do you think it just changes the vibe emotionally in the building, not having Durant playing against OKC in front of that crowd?
I think it'll be a little less,
nasty,
vehement and venomous in an NBA way. I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but I think there'll be less of a high anger content of the fans than normal. I think that's only natural. But still, you know, they're still the Warriors, and people don't like getting beat constantly. So I'm pretty sure these guys will be ready for the game.
Tim, before I let you go, we were talking about players in the NBA and you know, whether they're on the downside of their careers and where they are in terms of how many years left. And some listeners started comparing JD and I to NBA players. And I want to run this by you because I might need your support. The 925 said, I look at Steiny as a Patrick Beverley type. He's kind of getting older. He's on the back end of his career, but mostly he's an irritant. Did you see what we got to put up with here?
How great is that?
I always thought I'd be more of Scott Skiles myself.
I'll take that. I'll take that. Yeah. Well, I figured I'd get you out of here in a laugh.
My favorite was Rondo. Somebody said Rajon Rondo is Steiny.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I'll say wow too.
So when it goes bad, Steiny's out.
Well, that's
so. Who did they compare you to, JD?
There weren't a lot. Who are the
comparisons? There was one good one.
I haven't read. We've actually been flooded with so many texts that it's hard to be able to keep up with them.
Just sift through it all. Yes.
What do we got?
I can't remember.
Steiny is Rondo. Patty Mills. Patty Mills.
Nah, he's too nice of a guy.
That's not Patty Mills.
Somebody might have you as Caldwell Pope.
Come on. I'm better than Kentavious.
Caldwell Pope.
I'm better than Kentavious Caldwell Pope. Come on. That's no good.
Yeah, that's no good.
Jeez. All right. That's
Tim,
no good.
Tim, after you
I think JD's got a little fire in him, though. Might be like a Serge Ibaka throw the roundhouse right.
I was thinking more like Reggie Evans.
Like out of nowhere. Where'd that come from?
Out of nowhere, yes. Of course, out of nowhere.
Where'd that come from?
And Tim, after you hang up, we'll be comparing you to somebody unfavorable.
Oh, I know.
Thanks, Tim.
Exactly.
We'll talk to you tonight. All right. Tim Roy, voice of the Warriors from Oklahoma City. 95-7 the game. Yeah, there aren't a lot of... I have to come up with a comparison. Let's get to Brian and Palo Alto.
Oh, we got calls? Cool.
Yeah, we got a couple calls. We'll get to Brian and Palo Alto, and we'll come up. I mean, I don't think I should come up with a comparison for myself, but...
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm working on it.
I'm kind of Tobias Harris. No?
No, because you...
I don't know. Brian, save us.
I don't know if you're going to have his kind of clout come free agency.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Oh, yeah. Maybe Jonathan Simmons. Hey, Brian.
How about Mookie Blaylock?
Come on. Although he was...
That's Steiny.
He was one of my favorites.
Hey, my question is on Draymond. If you look at him statistically, his game has declined precipitously in literally really every single category that you can count.
Gotcha.
And it passes the eye test, too. You know, against Houston, 2 points, 5 rebounds, 5 turnovers.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Defensively, he's got, 205th best NBA defensive rating in the league. He's not an elite defender anymore. I think he's a good defender. He's not terrible. He's just not great. And you don't see his 14, 15, 16 form, except maybe like one game a month, maybe?
I would say maybe a couple games a month, but I hear what you're saying.
But it seems like he gets just like a universal pass from the local beat.
Mm.
And I don't get it. And like, if I'm the Warriors, regardless if Durant comes back or not, and I think this is what they're thinking internally, maybe not, but, like, you're probably going to have to move him this offseason. Because certainly if you have Steph and Clay back, you lose KD, you really have just two scorers on the roster. And I don't think he can all of a sudden become the offensive player he was 3 years ago. So, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, like, I don't understand why he gets, for all the criticism heaped on Durant, and, you know, even other players on the roster, that he just gets a pass, and he really doesn't show up that often.
Well,
anyway, I'll take your comments off the air.
I appreciate that.
That's a little strong.
It is, and I don't want to get into this, because then everybody's going to say we're trying to break this team up, which I don't care enough to do. But, yeah, I think the Warriors, at the end of the season, have to look at Draymond and figure some things out. By the way, I don't want to talk about the Warriors' future because the present is just too good. But we've got. I got to read this from the 925.
That's the best.
Well, I mean, I've been.
Wait a minute. Is it 925?
I have.
Yeah,
925
well, it was a 925. I think we're looking at the same one.
Okay, we're trying to come up with players to compare. Meet. So somebody said that I'm Patrick Beverley because I'm an irritant and I'm on the downside of my career.
I actually really like this one. I would actually go with this one.
So
I guess.
For JD, the caller said he's Harrison Barnes. He's always a starter, but he doesn't sell any jerseys. That is
good. That's actually pretty good.
That is pretty good.
That's actually pretty good.
I think that's very good.
Steven and Vallejo.
No, they compare me to Dellavedova. See,
well, you're an irritant because people think you're an irritant,
right? But you know what? Like, and I don't want to. All right, and I don't. You know, I'm pretty humble.
Yeah.
Come on, Dellavedova's an eighth man.
Dellavedova's not good enough of a player.
That's kind of
like,
what I'm thinking.
You're okay being an irritant, but you need to be a starter. You need to be like, you know,
Chris Paul,
Draymond.
Chris Paul.
Well, how about Draymond?
No, I'm not like Draymond.
That would. I mean, no.
I'll take Beverly.
You know who's actually not a bad comparison?
Who
is? I mean, I got a lot of DeMarcus Cousins in my game.
Yeah.
Although probably not viewed as...
No, that's a good one. He's a little more intimidating than you.
Okay.
Well, that's a good one.
Depends on who you ask.
Do I drink coffee like Dellavedova? Does he have a special way to drink coffee that I'm not aware of?
You remember, I remember hearing... Well... Let's go to calls.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Vallejo. Steven, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Dellavedova, I think, drank a lot of coffee before games. I think that's...
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Daryl Armstrong used to do that too, right? Like,
It's so weird. Don't you think it would dehydrate you and give you like LeBron-type cramps?
Well, you know what? I think they got it. I think... Yeah. Trust me, they drink enough water that one cup of coffee is not going to dehydrate them. BJ Armstrong did
that,
too.
But it's more than one. It's like it's like 10 or something like that, something ridiculous. Oh, okay.
Yeah, BJ was just one. He'd have one cup of coffee. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah, no, it was in like, and I think was Daryl Armstrong ever a Warrior?
No.
Okay, he was one of those guys that you think probably was. I think Daryl Armstrong would have like 10 or 12 cups of coffee, and he'd put like a bunch of sugar in it.
Oh my God.
So it's like, he would have like 10 sweet coffees, like right before, and then he'd go play. Anyway.
David,
Mark, can we get to Mark?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Mark in the city here. Probably our final call of the afternoon. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Doing good, man. Doing well.
Hey, now the thing that I wanted to make a point, first of all, Steiny, Steph Curry is not on the downside of his career. He's at the apex of it, though. This is probably the best it's going to get for him before he starts turning down. And then, two,
that's fine.
What people need to understand, yes, the Warriors needed Kevin Durant, but it was when they needed Kevin Durant. They only needed Kevin Durant for the NBA Finals to offset LeBron. We really don't need Kevin Durant for 82 games. We're the best team in the NBA through an 82-game stretch. It's just that during the finals, one, when you have Kevin Durant on the floor, now it's hard to hide LeBron on defense, where he was hitting very well on defense the very first two championship series. Then all of a sudden, with Kevin Durant on the floor, now he's actually got to play both ends of the floor.
I'm going to address the Steph Curry's at his peak. That's fine. I don't want to get into that.
About 2 minutes.
Let's say he's at a plateau. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the Steve Kerr answer.
Okay, that's fine.
Right now he's at his peak. But the peak can be more of a almost as a 3-year window or a 4-year window.
I'm just looking at it totally from the math perspective.
He puts it as peak as every game you play from 26 to 32 or 27 to 32 or something. You know what I mean?
I got it. I'm just looking at his math. He's played 10 years. If he plays 10 more years, he's not going to have the numbers he had the first 10 years. And even if he plays 5 years, the chances of the fifth year being as good as any year he's had dwindle. But I don't. That's not an important debate. I hear what people are saying.
That's going to do it for us.
Wow.
We got Covey and Tittle.
Okay. Oh, shoot. I thought I could leave my stuff here. I'm going to have to clean up.
Yeah, Covey and Tittle are coming up from 1 to 4.
You know if any of them sit here? I think they probably do.
Yeah, I think they will.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Covey and Tittle coming up from 1 to 4, and then we're going to be back at 4.
Yes, we are.
And, we got a little lunch plan.
I think the top one, maybe the best one we've
Craig
had.
Craig Elo.
No, it's just Danny Ainge.
Derek is Derek Fisher. Doesn't matter the jersey. Makes a big play in big moments. Yeah, Derek Fisher may be on the floor. J.D. Iguodala.
J.D., you are not a locker room lawyer, though, like Derek Fisher.
No, definitely not. Steiny Danny Ainge. That's a good one.
That's a pretty good one.
And Matt Barnes. No, there's no way we could do a show together if you're Matt Barnes. All right, that's going to do it for Gabe and Joe and everybody. Covey and Tittle next, 95.7 The Game. We'll talk to you in 3 hours.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.